ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Developing story. Four more members of the Marlins have tested positive for the coronavirus, bringing the organization's total to 17. Commissioner Rob Manfred told MLB Network they think they can continue to keep people safe and play, but there's not a whole lot of trust for that at the team level, explains ESPN's Buster Olney.
They talk about more concerns, and you know, having the protocol referred to as Swiss cheese is what I hear, and the fact that there doesn't seem to be uniformity, there seems to be a lack of complete understanding about what needs to take place.
Buster on Golic and Wingo. No Phillies players or staff have tested positive for COVID-19 after the series with the Marlins. Tonight's Phillies-Yankees game postponed as a precaution. Majority of Nationals players voted not to travel for this weekend series in Miami. MLB, though, makes the final call on whether games are played. NFL from ESPN's Adam Schefter. Linebacker Dante Hightower, the third Patriots starter to opt out of this season. He became a first-time father earlier this month.
Whether you're taking in your favorite lookout or lawn chair, sitting on your porch or in the park, Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time. Enjoy a creamy, crunchy, sweet and salty bar wherever you are.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Again, the big news of the day, obviously there's a couple of different COVID-19 stories out there. We know at this point that the Marlins are looking at 17 players that so far have tested positive for COVID-19. It also has meant at this point we know that the Washington Nationals have voted as a team that they don't want to go to Miami to play this weekend. We don't know what Major League Baseball will do with that. The other big story are opt-outs, as opt-outs have become a big part of the NFL conversation. This is the window where teams can decide that they don't want to, or players, I should say, should decide they don't want to play this season. A couple of things that should be noted here. If a player decides to opt out, if they are high risk, players deemed to be at a higher risk for developing complications, and they opt out, they receive a $350,000 stipend. So you have to have a previously confirmed diagnosis for one of more than one or more of 15 risk factors. If you're high risk, you can get a $350,000 stipend. If you're voluntary, not high risk, you'd receive a $150,000 stipend that's considered a salary advance and counts against the team's 2020 cap. Remember, it's just pressing pause on the contract. So we've had some big names. Bears defensive tackle Eddie Goldman has decided to opt out. That's been a story today. Also, obviously, for the Patriots, Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung, a couple of big names there. And then Marquise Scott and Goodwin from the Eagles has also opted out. So you're talking about several big names across the board that have opted out, and that's going to be a recurring story in the NFL. As a result of that, we're asking you, which NFL team can least afford for their star player to opt out? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you can get in on the fun and give us your take. We'll take one real quick. Alex in Florida, who do you think can least afford to lose their player?
Ryan Fitzpatrick, 4-5. The betting line is 4 on the wins. If he doesn't play, we're not going to get to 5. But more importantly, does Adam Schefter have a tongue when he talks?
In my experience, yes, he does have a tongue. I mean, I can without needing to text or tweet him, I feel pretty confident that Shefty has a tongue. I don't know why that was part of the question, Alex, but it's always unique. I will say this. I love your point, though. The Vegas point is a really serious one, and it's one of the factors that I'm still trying to wrap my head around. I mean, what is Vegas going to do with their win totals and their projections, not knowing at this point how health is going to be a factor? What's Vegas going to do when they set a line for, you know, Brady versus Breeze in a game, and then suddenly we wake up the day of the game and one of those players isn't able to play because of COVID? I'm still not sure how they're going to handle it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Love the gambling element of that. Keep them coming. What NFL team can least afford to lose their star player? In the meantime, let's get some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And it comes on the form of the bubble. All right, the bubble has been a big conversation around Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred, commissioner of MLB, was on Major League Baseball Network with Tom Verducci and was asked about the bubble and if it was feasible for them.
I think the decision that we made with respect to the bubble was the right one. We're different than other sports. We would have had to have multiple locations probably just in order to have enough facilities to make it work. The numbers of people involved and the numbers of people to support the number of players was much, much larger in our sport. The duration would have been much longer. And the longer you go, the more people you have, the less likely it is that you can make the bubble work. You know, I think the NBA and the NHL have an advantage, smaller numbers of players, shorter period of time. And I understand why they did what they did. I'm just not sure it was workable for us.
Now, that's some straight talk, wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. So then we got some straight talk in the form of First Take, as Max Kellerman was joined today by Eduardo Perez and my guy Freddie Coleman, and they talked about whose fault it is that Major League Baseball returned but not in a bubble.
It was inevitable. It's unsurprising. Stephen A. Smith said on this show months ago that he thought baseball was a sport that could be played because it is a socially distant sport compared to, say, basketball or especially football. I wasn't so sure. I thought basketball could be played because there are far fewer participants, especially when testing was more scarce. You could get your hands maybe on enough tests to responsibly test everyone without taking tests away from those who really needed it. Testing is much more plentiful nowadays and available for everyone, so that's less of an issue. But more than any of that, the NBA, which was almost done with its season, it had like seven more regular season games to go for the local TV revenue to fully vest, right? So they can get all that money. And then they could go straight to a playoffs and play their entire season in a bubble. Partly because there are fewer players involved, partly because they were almost done with their season, so it wasn't as long a time commitment. And partly because their commissioner, Adam Silver, who has rarely taken a misstep, looked at the situation soberly. In the absence of vaccinations, the only way to really do this is a bubble. We've seen Dana White do it with the UFC. We've seen Top Rank do it with boxing, both in isolation. And even then, there have been many cancellations and postponements, even in a COVID-free environment, in a bubble, if you will, right? So the NBA, I always thought, had a real shot to crown a champion. But in baseball, when the Major League Baseball's Player Association, as was widely reported, and I'm generally almost always pro-labor, but in this case, that union said, no, we don't want to spend so much time apart from our families, can't do it, but they still wanted to play. This is what happens. It requires enormous sacrifice or deviation from what you feel is normal, from your normal routine, in order to successfully pull off a sports season. At least there are only 60 games, and so maybe we can get some of these games in, but I'm unsurprised by this result, even this early in the season. I'm unsurprised by the number of players who have it, given the fact that they're in too close proximity to each other when they're on the same team. And so here we are, three games in, there's a crisis.
From what I've heard from coaches, from players, is that they are trying to follow as best protocol as they can. Yes, we've seen the walk-offs, we've seen the celebrations. My concern is, outside the ballpark, are the players being vigilant of each other? Are they taking care of each other? Are they going straight from the ballpark to their homes? Or are they stopping somewhere else? That's the part that a lot of players, and remember, you have different age gaps. You have players that have families with, if it's with grown kids, but at the same time, you have players that aren't married, that are single, that maybe they don't know what, how to behave outside the ballpark. Are they seeing friends or not? Are they staying confined? And those are the big questions that a lot of the coaches have, because these are more of the high-risk people that are involved in this. And then you have players that also see their parents. So there's a lot of uncertainty outside the playing field as there is than there is inside the playing field. And to take it a step further, baseball, you can't do what basketball has done, what soccer has done. You play this every day. You got 60 games in 66 days. Where are you going to be able to find a facility to be able to hold not only the 60 players, but the staff members, the front office members? It's a big entity. And plus, you're getting on airplanes. And from what I've heard with the Miami Marlins, is once you get on that airplane and you have one of those infected players, I want to see the seating chart, because I guarantee you that seating chart is probably exploited right there with those players on who tested positive and who did not.
What's a bubble really about? Contact tracing. If you have a vaccine, if you can vaccinate the population, that's fine. But if you don't, then you must locate the virus and then isolate it. The problem in this environment where there is no bubble is contact tracing is basically impossible. What are you going to do? You got to find out where every single member on the team has been when they go home. That's ridiculous. And they become vectors for the disease.
Well, Max, humans are going to human. Let's put it that way. Humans are going to do whatever they want to do, no matter what kind of insight you tell them, no matter what kind of science you bring to them, what kind of facts you bring to the table. People want to do what they want to do. Major League Baseball players aren't any different. I read a report yesterday in USA Today that a manager said when the outbreak first was reported, he hopes that this scares players into realizing exactly what's at stake. But he also said, but I know what ball players are going to do because I know what people are going to do. Major League Baseball players, they're not statues. You don't put them on pedestals just because they're not human. They are going to want to do what they always have believed they should be doing. And if this does not scare them or at least knock some sense into them, they say, man, do we really want to be the Miami Marlins and not pay attention to protocols on and off the baseball field? If that doesn't scare some sense into them, then there is not going to be a rest of the season. There are going to be more outbreaks that are going to happen, whether you're in a hot spot in Florida or Texas or somewhere else. If you're going to have that attitude of being a human being too much that you don't want to pay attention, then you can't expect people to want to feel sorry for you or really sympathize with you because you didn't do what you were supposed to do, especially when you signed off on this as a Major League Baseball player because you wanted to get back out there. You didn't want to have a lost 2020 season. So if you're going to sign off on something that's supposed to keep you safe and keep your family safe, and then you go out there and you don't do it, then how can you expect people to say, hey, we sympathize the baseball players, we sympathize the athletes? You're not helping your cause by going out there and going against everything that people have told you to make sure there's going to be as best of a safety issue to minimize any kind of potential outbreak that's going to happen with the baseball team, whether you're in the hot spot or not in the hot spot.
Let's first take your take on ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and speaking of the hotspot, we're going to go right over to the hot seat right now in the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where we're joined by ESPN Major League Baseball insider Jeff Passan. Jeff, I know things are crazy right now. I appreciate you carving out a couple minutes for us. What's the latest that you've heard about what's going on in Miami?
Oh, good Lord, Fitz. The latest changes by the minute. I know there are reports out there right now that the Marlins season is on pause. I have not been able to confirm that yet. I have talked with a couple of players who say they are sequestered in their hotel rooms right now, awaiting the results from the COVID-19 test that they took today. Clearly, their games against the Baltimore Orioles that were due to take place in Miami have been canceled. In all likelihood, it's looking more and more like their games that were scheduled to take place in Baltimore over the next couple of days could be canceled as well. We're up to 17 positive coronavirus tests over the last 5 days for the Miami Marlins. So the prospect of that team in the short term does not look good. And the prospect of baseball moving forward right now, while MLB seems certainly compelled to do it, there are a number of people around the sport who are wondering right now aloud just how smart of a thing that is.
Well, and you mentioned, Jeff, you're talking to players that are sequestered. How are players reacting to this outbreak?
I don't think that there's a ton of fear right now because a majority of the cases have been asymptomatic. And because, generally speaking, healthy 20-something-year-old men do not fall prone to the sorts of devastation that we've seen COVID unleash on other populations. But they look at what's happening with Eduardo Rodriguez, the Boston Red Sox starter, who may have myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart and something that has been linked to coronavirus. And that sort of thing is scary. And so I think the fear there among the players is understandable. But at the same time, they're maintaining hope that either they are going to avoid coming down with COVID-19, as so many of their teammates have, or the ones who have it are going to be able to get through this all right.
Jeff, we're talking to Jeff Passan, ESPN Major League Baseball insider. And Jeff, as we look across, one of the things I've asked you every week that we've talked to you has been, you know, where's the line? At what point do they cancel things? So I guess I'll ask you now, is there a line that you can sense Major League Baseball has that would allow them to continue their season, but not with the Marlins playing?
Yeah, the idea that one team is going to just drop out of sight and end its season, I don't find particularly realistic. You know, it's going to leave at that point at least one other team per day without games. And that's just something that I don't see happening. But at the same time, the idea that the Marlins could pause their season for a week, for 2 weeks, who knows how long it's going to take. And then at the end of the year, you just base playoff spots on winning percentages as opposed to everybody having played a full 60-game schedule. I could definitely foresee something like that happening.
We're talking to Jeff Passan, ESPN Major League Baseball insider, trying to get the latest on what's going on with baseball and with Miami particularly. So, Jeff, I guess as we look forward, there is at least a question about the bubble. Should it have been considered? I mean, now that we're a week into the season and already having these issues, does Major League Baseball have the opportunity to rethink things?
No. They are pot committed on this plan at this point. And Rob Manfred said last night, we believe we have a good protocol and we're going to stick with it. But anybody who's anybody right now is looking in hindsight and saying, yeah, probably should have tried to do the bubble. And, you know, when I wrote the story, the first story back in April about the possibility of MLB doing a bubble type atmosphere, it got laughed at. There was some scorn. Players did not like it. Teams and owners did not like it, all for a multitude of reasons. But the issue here was it was always going to be the best and safest way to do things. And the fact that MLB lost that opportunity, I think, you know, if you want to say they're reaping what they sow right now, I don't think that's an unfair thing to say.
I'm talking to ESPN Major League Baseball insider Jeff Passan. Jeff, over the first few days of getting to watch games, we saw players handing each other sanitizer, running with masks on. I mean, talk to me about the baseball you've seen so far, though. I mean, take COVID-19 out of the equation. How have you felt about the baseball you've seen over the first few games compared to what you thought we might see?
It's baseball. It's great. It's back. There are home runs. There are strikeouts. There's all the things that we love to see and that we missed over the last 3 months as the sport wasn't around. And it's been a reminder in many ways that this game is awesome and that it is a part of our sporting fabric. And yet, ever since Juan Soto, the Washington Nationals star, tested positive on opening day and missed that day and the games ever since, it's just been a really uneasy feeling that the outbreak with the Marlins really reinforced. And that's the sad part about this whole thing, man. Like, this is, you know, this is something that should in an ideal world be working. But, you know, the more time we spend with it and the more we see, you wonder about the long-term viability of the 2020 baseball season.
Jeff, I appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a crazy afternoon. There's a lot of things going on. And look, you've always taken the time to come on the show. This is the last week for First Take Your Take, but you know that Spain and Fitz will be hitting you up at night. As always, I really appreciate your willingness to come on, even when news is breaking. Taking the time out really means the world, my friend. Thank you so much.
I just need to save you from Sarah, is that? So
I'm telling you.
I will be back.
Look, I'll take your help, but, you know, look, we don't stand a chance. She's smarter and better than we are at everything. So just remember that, Jeff. I mean, I accept it. I know.
I mean, speak for yourself, buddy.
Oh, you are writing checks I'm going to have to cash. I do not appreciate that, my friend. Jeff Passan, thanks for the time, brother. Stay safe, most importantly.
You too, pal. Take care.
Look, this is a strange time for Major League Baseball because they've got to figure out what's going on. As Jeff just alluded to, there are reports out there. He hasn't been able to confirm yet that the Marlins season may be looking at a possible hold. We don't know. We're going to continue to monitor. And as soon as I get something concrete that we feel good about, that we can verify, that I can come to you with on information, we will do that. I mean, that's going to be a big part of what we have to figure out, what baseball has to figure out. The stunning part to me about all of this isn't that we're seeing testing give us positive results. Like, it's not the fact that we've seen an outbreak. It's the fact that there didn't seem to be a plan in place for the possibility of an outbreak. I mean, what was the point of months of negotiation from the players and the teams if you didn't go in and factor every possible scenario? That's what the NBA did and, frankly, did really well.
I mean, we've seen it. We've seen their policies and procedures be tested from the minute they got in the bubble. And every single time there's been a test of it, whether it's because somebody needed to be excused, we all learned what the process was for that. Whether it's because somebody was excused and then didn't necessarily follow the protocols as instructed, we found out there's a policy for that. There's been a policy for everything, all the way down to the line that you're allowed to cross to pick up delivery, right? Everything was considered in the NBA plan. How is it possible that we're seeing a breakout already, but there was no plan in place for what to happen if an entire team had this happen? I mean, to me, this had to be one of the protocols that was decided on by Major League Baseball coming into it, and it's disappointing to me, at least disappointing to me, that Major League Baseball didn't have anything in place to do it. All right, so we're going to switch gears a little bit, get back to the NFL conversation, as opt-outs have been a huge part of the story today. Which NFL team can least afford their star player opting out? 888-729-3776. That's how you can get on the conversation. Whose season's done if their star player opts out? 888-729-3776. We will, of course, get some of your thoughts on that as we continue to break down what all of this means. It's a day in 2020, which means there's a ton of COVID-19 conversation, specifically around sports. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. We're asking you which NFL team can least afford for their star player to opt out. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This comes on the heels of a couple of conversations today. Obviously, the big news that we've got around Major League Baseball involves the Marlins and the fact that we're now up to 17 players that have tested positive for COVID-19. There are reports out there that there's the possibility that the Marlins season is going to be postponed or paused, I should say. If we can get confirmation of that from one of our sources, we will let you know. So we're monitoring the headlines just the same way you are to get the most current information possible. When I've got something I can tell you concrete, I will. In the meantime, there's also a list of NFL players that have started to opt out and decide that they don't want to be a part of the NFL season coming into this year. It's interesting. Shane tweeted me and said, the problem with Major League Baseball and NFL, there's either no contingencies in place or there's no transparency about said plans. The NBA, NHL made necessary adjustments. It's not about the factors you can't control. It's about the ones you can, and MLB/NFL are failing. I don't disagree with that. I mean, part of this conversation for the NFL has to be, what was their backup plan? What is their backup plan? Because we're going to look at Major League Baseball every time we see somebody test positive for COVID-19, and we're going to say, what about the bubble? Did they do the right thing? Should they have made a bubble? Should they have been in a bubble? Should they have figured out some other way? We talked to Jeff Passan just a few minutes ago, and he talked about the bubble article he wrote back in April that was mocked loudly by players and by people in the baseball community because it wasn't a viable option or it wasn't a necessity. Well, those are the sorts of questions that are going to be asked now if you start to look at the way that they're doing business and saying something's not working. Now, the testing is working because it's finding the cases, but how is it being spread? Why is it being spread? What is Major League Baseball not doing right? Where is the failing? If you're looking at an increased number of tests, that's a failing. All right. Don't forget, by the way, to listen to ESPN at home via your smart speaker. That's how I always do it. ESPN Audio at Home, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van. Find out how far an extra mile really goes from customization and service to financial assistance. Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. Are the Patriots ready for what they're having to deal with in opt-outs? Because, again, the number is large across the board. We are seeing players all across the NFL opt-out. There have been some big names, Marquise Goodwin, Eddie Goldman are a couple of the names, but the Patriots have at this point at least six players that are opting out, and that list includes Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung. Now, I have a lot to say about the players opting out and the way we're treating it, but before we get to any of that, I want you to hear what First Take had to say about the Patriots Hightower opting out. This is Lewis Riddick and Max Kellerman today.
If it wasn't for the existence of Bill Belichick, if he hasn't proven himself as a combination GM coach, the best who ever did it by a factor of something, we would have written the Patriots off a long time ago. But I'm sitting here, and of course, presuming they have a season and they finish, which I don't think will happen. But let's talk about this with that assumption for a second. What are you kidding? You lose Tom Brady? You didn't have a lot of offensive weapons to begin with? The Buffalo Bills are on the rise? No one will be entertaining even getting Cam in there. Coming off an injury, hasn't looked good in a couple of years as a result of that. has to learn a new system, has to put weapons around him, the whole thing. You'd be like, nah, come on, it's the Bills. The Bills were nipping at their heels last year as is, and they're on the rise, and the Patriots were in decline. And then you lose a piece off your defense like this? But because it's Bill Belichick, I'm still sitting here. If you make me pick who I think would win the NFC East if they play, I think the Patriots, because I've seen Belichick lose too many name brand players. Not just like name brand players we see in the NFL, they're name brands, but in name only. They don't really do it anymore. We've seen him, you know, we've seen primetime players in the primes of their careers plucked off that defense. And the next year, it's like they haven't missed a step. They change a little bit, but they haven't missed a step. So if any team could kind of suffer the impact of losing a player like Hightower, it would be the Patriots and Bill Belichick. I would still make them favorites by a touch.
This is a major blow. This is a major blow for New England on the football field and off the football field. Look, on the football field, Dante Hightower is one of those multi-positional type of players that Bill specifically targets in the draft and free agency. Guys who can adjust on the fly within a game, switch positions from being a down lineman to being a stand-up box linebacker to being a guy who can cover running backs, guys who can cover tight ends, guys who can blitz, guys who are strong against the run, proficient against the pass. I mean, these are the kind of players that Bill has made his name off of for over 20 years in New England. And on top of that, Dante is a signal caller. Dante is a guy who's in the middle of the field, a guy who is a communicator. When you lose too many of those people, like Dante, and like obviously on the offensive side of the ball, you lose a Tom Brady, it's going to have an effect on your football team that you can't really measure, that you can't really put your finger on and touch, because you have to be there to experience it and understand just how important these guys are to executing on the field, and executing on the field in particular in a scheme that changes from week to week to week in a Bill Belichick coach type of football team. Like, you have to have a certain football intellect and a certain football intelligence level in order to play for this man in the first place. Now, when you have a guy who is a veteran like Dante and you take him away on the defensive side of the ball, and you're faced with the kind of circumstances that we're all facing right now with this pandemic, and in football in particular, where you haven't been together at all on a football field at all since last year, it's going to have a tangible effect. There's no question about it. And then move over to the offensive side. I don't care if Cam Newton's there or not. He's never been with this football team yet. Jared Stidham hasn't established himself as a leader. So there's so many unknowns for this football team that I don't know if Bill can overcome all those things. I don't know if Josh McDaniels can overcome all those things. There's a lot up in the air with this football team now, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more up in the air as we move through, because I'm sure we haven't heard the last of these players that are opting out, although I don't have any insight as to more players opting out. But I'm sure we haven't heard the last of it, because you know there's going to be positive tests. You know that's going to affect the roster even more. And this is really it's the first shoe to drop, which I'm sure, in what I'm sure is going to be a number of shoes that are going to drop.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. I love what Lewis Riddick just said there, number of shoes that are going to drop, because let's be real, this is going to be happening across the NFL over the span of the next few days. If you're not aware, an opt-out essentially pauses a contract, and in such that it'll pick up next year. And in fact, if a player has qualified as a higher risk and they opt out, they get a $350,000 stipend. If they opt out voluntarily, they're not higher risk, they get a $150,000 stipend in that situation that's considered an advance from their salary for next year. So there's still the ability to have a little bit of money, but for these players, they're making a real decision here that I think should be respected at a different level. One of the things that surprises me, and I truly mean surprises me, is the backlash that I've seen on social media towards players for deciding to opt out. How many times have you read it or even said it over the course of the conversation where you're talking about these players and saying, yeah, well, you know what, I don't make nearly what they make and I still have to go to work every day. I wish we lived in a world where all businesses could shut down, everybody could still pay their bills, nobody could have to worry about money or keeping the lights on or keeping a business afloat, and through all of that, we could get COVID-19 solved. I wish we lived in that world. We don't, though. So what surprises me about people that are suddenly clapping back to a different level towards athletes that are making this personal decision is that you're really faulting someone for being tremendously successful. I mean, if you are so successful and good enough with your money that you are at a spot where you went into work today, wherever you worked, you went into work today and you said, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to wait a year. If you could wait a year and not put yourself at risk, would everybody else fault you for that? If you were a barista at Starbucks and you come in and you say, nah, this isn't for me. I'm going to wait a year. Are your fellow employees or the people that get coffee every day going to turn around and be like, oh, you're trash. I still have to go to work. Why do we suddenly apply that to athletes? Because we perceive that they're rich? Because we perceive that they're famous? I mean, does that make them not human? Realistically, if you're so successful as an entrepreneur, and let's be clear, athletes are entrepreneurs. If you are so successful as a small business owner where your brand is your business, that you can come in and say, you know what, I'm taking the year off. I mean, that should be a slow clap. Congratulations for being in a situation where you have prepared yourself to the spot where you are going to lose a year of your opportunity to be around the sport that you've been around your entire life. You're going to lose a year that you may never get back because there's a limit on how long you can play age-wise and be effective. You're just going to give up on a year of earning, give up on a year of being around the game that you love, and you're going to do that because you think it's most important for your health? Who are we to trash that? Just because somebody wears a jersey of a team that you love on Sunday, it doesn't mean that they're not human beings. And that's part of the whataboutism that I can't stand over the conversation that we've seen for players opting out. It doesn't matter if you're a role player, if you're an undrafted free agent. It doesn't matter if you're a star. If you look around and say, you know what, this game isn't worth the risk that it will put on my family, who am I to disrespect that? Who are you to disrespect that? I can't make it make sense in my mind when, in fact, what we're seeing are athletes stand up and saying, you know what? This isn't for me. I'm going to make sure that I'm in as healthy a situation as possible. And it's funny, some of you guys on Twitter laughed at Charles, our caller, earlier in the day. And Charles talked about how people everywhere are going to be opting out. And there's this conversation around opt-out that, you know, at some point you got to figure out what businesses are doing or how businesses are being created. And I'm going to go back to it. I don't know how to navigate these waters. I don't know how businesses can stay open right now, but I certainly see in around everywhere that whether it's a diner or whether it's a restaurant or whether it's a club, like places are trying to figure out how to make some money and how to stay open. I'm not going to fault the NFL for looking around and saying, hey, we're going to do everything we can to play games because that's our business and that's how we make money. I'm also, conversely, though, never going to fault a player for turning around and saying, you know what, I've taken care of my family in such a way that I can find other ways to live for the next year, and I'm just going to press pause. That is the ultimate success if you're in a position where you can do that. And if you're in the position to do that and you choose to do it, I have nothing but respect for you because at the end of the day, any human that's going to work out, that's going to look out for their health and safety first is someone I'm going to praise. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. You guys want to chime in? We're going to let you. Your thoughts on players opting out, who can't afford to opt out. Some interesting takes here. We're going to let you take over the show. Which NFL team can least afford their star player opting out? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you can get in on the fun in the conversation. 888-729-3776. We're going to let your take over. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. Get you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. All right, we've been asking you guys to chime in. Which NFL team can least afford their star player to opt out? Let's get some of your take in on opt-outs in general through all of this. Let's go to Jay in Massachusetts. Jay, what you got on opt-outs? Thanks for your take.
Well, first of all, Jason, thanks for taking my call. If Dak doesn't come back, Dallas is done. That's my first take. My other take is I was listening to your comments and that if players want to opt out, they're going to get $150,000 for the year or $350,000 if they have an illness. Those guys are going to be set. They're going to be able to still take care of their families, where in other leagues, if they did opt out, or they opted out, they weren't going to get paid nothing.
Yeah, well, so, and that is part, I mean, definitely there's an incentive. Remember, the $150,000 is at least an advance on next season's salary, so it is money for you right now. But you are right, absolutely, it's something, it's a lot of money to most of us, to NFL players. It's not necessarily as much. Larry in Dallas, what's your take on the opt-outs?
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call, sir. My thing is, you know, America need to, you know, first thing, my hat is off to those guys that decide to opt out. Because my thing is this. We know what the problem is. And these guys are going to do, they're going to the solution are trying to handle the problem. But we got so many people want to deal, want to be the problem instead of being the solution to the problem. And we have experts telling us what we need to do. You know, all these games and stuff, I prefer all these athletes to say, hey, let's hold it. Do like Google did. We're not bringing no one in until June of 2021, when possibly we might have a vaccine and we be incurred this thing. It is dangerous. People need to open their eyes. All these so-called sports fans, close your eyes and get some sleep. Chill out for a minute. These guys got people. And Lord say, we know Russell Wilson, he just had a child. Lord forbid that he goes out there and come back home. His wife and his kids is at home, man. We need to stop this craziness because we're so pathetic and want to apologize for something that happened. And I didn't think it would. I thought it was a hoax. Stop listening to people that's doing that and listen to your own mind. Take care of your families, brothers and sisters out there that's in the athletic world. Stop all this NFL commissioners and all that. The heck with them. Are they going to be out there with you?
Larry, I got to let you go, man. We're up against it. I appreciate your take on it. And look, I wish everything was simple, right? But it's not. And the NFL is still a business. So just like any other business chooses to keep its doors open and try and find a way to make money, whether that's your favorite coffee shop or your favorite restaurant, you know, I'm not going to fault a business for trying to stay open. The line on it is I'm also not going to fault a player for deciding that family health matters more than that. ESPN Radio Afternoon coming up next. Dan Barrett, Kelsey Riggs, check them out. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.